Welcome to the Heads and Volleys podcast with me, Lee Dunn.
Back. It's been a little while, quite a while actually. I think December was the last time I shared a podcast, and lots of things have happened. I've had a second baby, and a lot of that has taken my time. And now I've slowly gotten back into coaching and coaching some little ones, 2016s, 2015s. They're new to the game. They're new to life, really. But something that I've really paid attention to over the last couple of weeks, and something I just recently tweeted about, is how we talk to our players, how we engage our players, how we get them to either understand what we're doing or to think differently about the games or the challenges that we're providing. So the title here is about talking to your players, but just think about the last time you coached your players. They were in the middle of an activity and then the timer is up, or you feel like it's time for a water break, and we say, okay, bring it in. And then we bring our players in a big huddle. We leave the contextual environment that we've spent a lot of time creating, whether that's by creating our own plans or talking to other people or stealing things from online. And then I'm going to now talk to you about that in an out of context environment, in an out of context situation. You're all going to stand in a semicircle and look at me, and I'm going to talk about the game that you just played in that's behind you, that you can no longer see and no longer a part of. But it's really easy to do, isn't it? Hey, everybody, just come on in. I want to tell you about something. Your players lose focus. Now, especially more so with the younger players I have, it might take them a minute or two to focus again. You know, I say the word focus because they come in and one kid's got a ball at his feet, and so the other one kicks his ball away, and then we have to wait for them to go get it, or somebody does something silly, or they need to tie their shoelaces. Like, all these little things that suddenly were not happening 1 minute ago are now happening right where I'm standing with my players. So the moment that I really wanted to discuss is lost. And then also add in the fact that if we're now going to talk and then send them for a water break, whatever we're talking about right now is also gone. So before we really talk about how we can engage our players in a better way, or at least a way that I've experienced lately, and several things that I've also promoted a lot previously, I want to talk about our environment. I set a podcast a little while ago now about the amount of minutes that we lose in a training session when we send kids for water or we do things that take time, whether we're moving cones or we're moving things around. So talk about your environment. Is it fully set up? Do you have enough space to have all of your activities laid out? Do you have enough equipment for that without pulling one of those horrendous trolleys across the field with 56,000 cones in it and all of the poles and all of the goals in it? Do you have the equipment to be able to set up in a simple way so that your players can see everything? Do you have enough balls? Are all of the balls set up? Do you have enough pinnies? Are they all set up, or bibs? So then I ask these things because, number one, it makes our life significantly easier when we are now just moving through the session, and that I'll talk about as part of the how. But then also how now in our training environment, if we have things like a tactics board, or if you use Tactical Pad, I've talked a lot about Tactical Pad and the value of creating a GIF of our training session for our players to see it. But if we're looking at a tactics board, and I use my tactics board a lot now from Soccer Innovations, where I rest it up, and the keywords are on there for the training session. We've been working through some of the Tovo stuff, so scan and support are on there a lot, shape is on there a lot. But then also images, quick drawings of what the training session is, so the players know it. Now, also, there's a lot of repetition, so it becomes really simple for the players to understand the task of the day. But my environment is set up as clearly as possible for my players to understand what is going on. Why does that help me in this context? It helps me because I don't have to spend time explaining what is going on. Of course, week one, week two, maybe I have to remind them. And then as things add to the complexity of the training session, I may have to just spend a moment walking players through it. But a lot of the evolution of our training sessions and things like small-sided games are fairly self-explanatory. And then if there are one or two or three players that just don't get it, I'll talk about how here in a second as to how I'm going to engage with those players versus bringing everybody together and saying, okay, here is what we're talking about. Because I've got one little player on my left who's spinning around in circles because he's bored or he struggles with attention or he just doesn't really want to listen to me talking. He's there to play soccer. And then I've got two other kids who are best friends and live next to each other and spent all day swimming in each other's swimming pools and are now messing around and joking about whatever they were doing earlier in the day. And the one kid who really needed the information is distracted by everybody else. And then suddenly we've wasted 2 minutes because I'm now a little frustrated that my players aren't listening to this key information. And it's key information to one player, but it's not necessarily key to everybody else because it's about the dynamics of the training session or how one player could do a better job or what they could do differently. So when I go to how, first question is, when do you bring it in? I talked a little bit before the little break here about water breaks. Do we do it before? Do we do it after? If we send them for a water break and then bring them back in, that would be better if we're going to do it either way, because then they come back as a chance to ideally refocus. Sometimes we're moving activity. Okay, bring it in. We're going to shift over to here on the right side. Now it evolves to a 4v2 plus one or whatever our training environment is asking of us next. Now perhaps there's also lots of mistakes. Mistakes is one where I'm saying, okay, we keep messing up. We all have a poor first touch, or we're all closed off in our body positioning, and we're failing to scan. Or it's a perceived lack of effort where I say, you guys just aren't working hard enough. You need to want this. You've got to do better. All of these things where I'm bringing these players in removes them from the context of training. So we talk about water. What about moving activity? If I have my tactics board and I've already told them what we're doing, or if I'm able to just expand on that training activity within the same space, so we were doing 4v2, guess what, everybody? Now we've got a plus one who's going into the middle. We don't have to change the space. Or if the space is too small in the flow, we say, hang on, everybody stand still, players grab the nearest cone, take one step backwards. Suddenly we've got a bigger area and we can play on again. So I don't need to bring everybody in for that. I don't need to send them to a water break to then make the area bigger and then bring them back in as a group and say, okay, everybody, I made the area bigger. So now we might have a little bit more success. These are all minutes that I'm losing, and then quality focus time of our players. I'm doing my MBA right now, and I just worked through a course around time management. And it takes, on average, 23 minutes to get into focused work. So if we even scale that to a young person's mind in a training environment, and again, relative to the experience that I have right now with my younger players, if I have these young players who may even take just 10 minutes to get focused, now suddenly I'm wasting 10 minutes. Anytime we get near this kind of peak focus time, suddenly I'm taking them back out of it to change something, to move something, to explain something, to bring them back in. So if my tactics board has this displayed, then we can remain focused for just a little bit longer, even here. Now, if we've gone through two, three, four cycles, I use time frames for rotations or repetitions. 1 minute of play, rotate players, 1 minute of play, talk about it, 1 minute of play, 2 minutes of play, whatever that is. Now, at the end of that round of play, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, let's go get the balls. And as we're getting the balls collectively, we're talking. And I'm asking the players, what did you see? How did you feel? Maybe there's one player who I've seen struggling, and I can go with that player to get the balls and say, okay, here is how I can help you. Here is what I would like to see you do better. Or I'm asking questions, what is your experience of that? Then, as the players are coming back, I'm asking collectively, as we're finding our shape and putting the balls where they should be, I'm using the time that they are using to organize also to say, what do you guys think? Give me your hot feedback, this hot take, immediate. What do you think? Easy, hard. Be honest with me. Do I need to change this as we're going through the flow? I don't need to bring them in collectively in this big group and say, all right, what do you guys think? Go around in a circle, and then we've lost a couple of minutes. So then, if I'm looking at mistakes and effort as my final kind of reasoning as to why I might bring my players in, I'm also going to look at the overall training session. How am I impacting the training session? What do my observations tell me? I don't think, or at least if I look at any training sessions where it's been a struggle for the players to accomplish the goal, it may have been too complex. It may have been that the space was too small. It may have been that there was too much going on for the players. There may have been too much. Like last night, we did a 4v3 plus two. That's a lot for young players. So it was inevitably going to fail but towards the end, they started to get it. Again, perhaps because we hit 10 or 15 minutes of focus time and of working time, that they were able to start kind of trying to apply some of our standards in terms of shape and in terms of support and in terms of scanning, that we started to connect 2, 3, 4, sometimes even 5 passes. And it was wonderful, but only because they were given the time to fail, the time to experience that training session. And then some of the key players in the middle that I were able to talk to in the flow of the training session, or players that were on the edge that I would say, okay, you two are going to be the plus two next. Watch, 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 watch. Here is what you could do. Here is how you could do this. What do you think? Now in the flow of the training session, everybody's working, but individual players are getting these small little tasks on how they can improve their own play, but also the overall quality of the training session. Now, as I'm observing, and this is what I talk about all the time for the beginning of every training session, the beginning of every activity, I'm watching. I'm not coaching, I'm watching. Is it too big? Is it too small? Do the players understand what's going on? Are there players that I need to talk to? Are the balls in the right place? Are we able to keep the flow of the game? Then I'm going to go to the individual level first, and I'm going to say, hey, Julian, what do you see here? Are you in the best shape? How are you scanning to support the game? All of these key words that are not foreign to our players, but I'm not doing it in the big group. I'm not pulling the group together and saying, Julian, what did you see? And Julian says, I don't know. I don't know if there's a right or a wrong answer here. I'm probably just not going to say anything. And then by the time I've hesitated long enough, somebody else has messed around. So we don't have to answer the question anyway, because Coach Lee's now going to talk to those players about messing around. So there's my individual conversation. Then I go to my team talks. If we're playing a 4v2, as we're fetching the balls, I'll send the two to fetch the balls, and I'll pull the four players together and talk about shape, or I'll talk about their experience. Now here is your team task. Can you get 5 passes? Can you split the two defenders? And every time you do, you yell ole, because we're going to celebrate that we've done it. And it's a wonderful skill and a wonderful achievement to have split them like that. There's our little team talk, not for the greater group, but for that little small group. Same thing if we played a 4v4 to 2 wide goals. Same conversation. Green team, come on in. Let's just talk about this here really quickly, and then move it on from there. And of course, my coaching in the flow. My key words, it's not a lot of information. It's key words. Coaching in the flow with shape and scan. Those words have significant meaning to the players that they are learning and understanding further and further through our training sessions. So I remain consistent. And I read a really good tweet from a friend of mine who said that we try and tell too much, whether we are professionals in business or in coaching or any kind of avenue of life. Think about it with your own kids. Try and tell them too much information, because we know the answer. We know the depth and the complexity of what we're talking about, but we need to tailor it relative to our younger players. So right now for my younger players, scanning is about body position. It's about seeing the ball in the goal. It's about looking for space. Now, you could argue that it probably doesn't get much more complex than that, but it will, because now we start looking about lines. We start considering spaces relative to other players and our shape tied to our scanning. But that is stuff that they don't need to see yet. They just need to understand the core of the term, and then we can layer in as we go. Now, I may bring them together and talk too much about scanning, which is why I've embarked on this journey of talking to my players in more meaningful ways. Also consider that I see these players for just about 3 hours a week. So knowing that I have such limited time, it's integral that they have the ball at their feet, that the ball is moving, that they're having a great time playing soccer. So I want to know from you, how do you engage with your players outside of this group huddle, you know, kind of bring it in? And if you have listened to this and thought, damn, that's a pretty good idea, I'm going to try it. I want to know how it goes. I want you to share how you're doing it, or what the hardest thing about it is. Because for me, it's definitely being conscious enough around focusing on not bringing it in, which sounds silly, but freeze is a good one, because we've got players in positions, it's contextual and it can be quick. Bring it in, we've taken them completely out of the environment that we work so hard to create. Have fun with it. Let me know what you think. It's great to be back. More things coming. Just a side note, this was recorded on my phone through the Spotify Anchor app. So I'd be interested to know what you think of feedback. Type two, is the quality good? For me, this kind of makes the most sense that I can just whip my earbuds in and get on with sharing you exactly what I'm thinking right now. So I want to hear from you. Let me know at Lead on Soccer.